This morning we're looking at the empty tomb and the dawn. And if you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 as we read God's word together. Matthew 28, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you.' And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Amen. And so this morning we want to look at the empty tomb and the dawn. As I said on Friday, we looked at the cross in the darkness and we looked at what happened in the darkness. We said that in that darkness, Jesus was really not just dying to pay for our sins, but he was also doing battle as he conquered sin, as he conquered death, as he conquered the devil, and as he also conquered our own hearts. We saw that. And so this morning we want to look at the resurrection morning and the events that happened at dawn on that Easter Sunday morning, and as we look at the empty tomb and the risen Savior. And so this morning, friends, what I want to do is I don't just want to teach this morning, but kind of declare truth and read some scriptures, and so that we may rejoice in what has happened for us, what Jesus has accomplished. Easter Sunday is massive because the resurrection is massive. Can you say amen? It's the most important day in Christianity, and no other world religious leader could claim that their founder died and rose again. Hallelujah. And we know that. A number of years ago, Avril preached a message and said that we have got documentary evidence that Jesus rose from the Bible. We have circumstantial evidence. We have an empty tomb, and they couldn't find the body because the body was no longer there. And we also have the evidence of eyewitnesses, the apostles, and about 500 other people that Jesus appeared to on that resurrection morning as well, and in the weeks that followed that. And so this morning I want us to look at, why was the resurrection so important? Why did it cause such a stir amongst the disciples? And I've got really 3 points this morning. Let me jump straight into it. Firstly, the resurrection was so massive and so important because it meant that the cross was accepted by God the Father. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, for your sin and for my sin." And then the Bible says, God raised him up on the third day. Hallelujah. The entire gospel revolves around a physical, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that is what we are celebrating today. Paul says in Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain and our faith is worthless. You can't have Christian faith, friends, without resurrection faith. Hallelujah. But Jesus did rise from the dead. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in Romans 4 verse 25, he was delivered up for our sin and he was raised for our justification to make us right with God. What does that mean? That means that salvation has been achieved. Jesus achieved our justification. Jesus achieved our forgiveness. Jesus secured our salvation. Hallelujah. The resurrection was proving that God was satisfied with us. God was satisfied with the cross, and we have peace with God. The resurrection is the sign that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He rose, friends, as the messianic king. It says in Romans chapter 1 that he rose and he was declared to be the Son of God in power because of the resurrection of the dead. When Jesus rose into heaven, he rose with great power and he was given a name that was above every name because of what he did upon the cross. Hallelujah. And he was declared to be the Son of God in power because of the resurrection of the dead. He put every enemy under his feet and he was given a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. And so the cross was Jesus' payment for sin. And the resurrection was God's acceptance of that payment. He's saying, well done, my son. I accept what you have done on the cross. The resurrection gave meaning to the cross. It helped the gospel to be understood more clearly. And so this morning, if you're a Christian, we are saved by the cross and the resurrection. Otherwise, we're just forgiven corpses. But we say by the cross and the resurrection. Hallelujah. Before that, before the disciples realized that Jesus was raised from the dead, they gave up all hope of him being the Savior. It says in Luke 20, 24 verse 21, it says they're walking down the Emmaus Road and they were pretty dejected. And Jesus kind of comes up. They don't recognize him at first. And he says, what's going on? He says, well, you know, Jesus has been crucified. We had hoped that he would be the Messiah, the one to rescue Israel. We just hoped it, but they didn't realize that he'd risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And so friends, the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything for us. It was the resurrection that the apostles preached. It was the resurrection that radicalized everything. This event was so important that it became part of the apostles' job description. They were called eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And so friends, the early Christians, they didn't believe in the resurrection because they couldn't find a dead body. They believed in the resurrection because they found the living Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who needs old bones? Who needs a grave? Who needs a tomb when the real person is around? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Even Jesus' own blood brothers, James and Jude, were only saved after the resurrection when they saw Jesus risen from the dead. And the church began to gather on Sundays to mark the importance of this great day, the Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. So friends, the resurrection is so important. The resurrection validates the cross. The resurrection gives meaning to the cross. The resurrection shows us that God accepted what Jesus did upon the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus was risen with power and glory and might and splendor. Hallelujah. This is the Jesus that we serve. Secondly, I want you to see that when Jesus died never, he rose never to die again when he rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus was the greatest demonstration of the power of God ever. Let me say that again. I thought that was quite good. The resurrection of Jesus was the greatest demonstration of the power of God ever. Amen. He conquered death, the last enemy. It was the death of death. He swallowed up death. And so Jesus' death was completely unique. There were other folk in the Bible that were risen from the dead. There were quite a few, actually. Lazarus was risen from the dead. The widow from Nain, her son was risen from the dead. Jairus' daughter was risen from the dead. Tabitha was risen from the dead. Eutychus is a guy that fell asleep while Paul was preaching a very long sermon. He fell out the window and he died. That's why I've told us we mustn't preach for more than 30 minutes in this church. And Paul went and laid hands on him and he was raised from the dead. But all these folk, they were raised, but they died again. But when Jesus was raised, he was raised never to die again. Hallelujah. Death could not hold him down. Death has power, but God has greater power. Death is punishment, but the resurrection is release from punishment. Death is condemnation. The resurrection is justification, the opposite of condemnation. Hallelujah. Jesus has risen. He is, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in Revelation chapter 1, he says, I hold the keys to death and to Hades. Jesus holds the keys to death and to Hades. He says, I have the keys in my hand. I have been given the keys to death and to Hades. He's the Lord of life, and he holds the keys. Do you like my keys? He holds the keys to death and to Hades. And keys speak of authority. It speaks of authority, friends. Heaven has gates. One day when you get to heaven, if you're a believer, you will pass through great gates into heaven. But hell also has gates. Jesus said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And friends, Jesus has the keys to keep you out of hell, to keep you from going through those gates. Keys are important. And through the suffering and death of Jesus, he's won the right to those keys. He has the keys of life, and he has the keys of death. He has authority to rescue you from death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. The only way you will get past death is through Jesus now. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you need rescuing. You need Jesus to rescue you from the gates of hell. You need to say, Jesus, please. There's a key on this bunch that will open the door and rescue me. Won't you do that, Lord? Won't you rescue me? You have the keys to life and to death. Hallelujah. He has authority. He says, I hold the keys. He holds the keys, Jesus does. And he also tells us in Revelation 3 verse 7 that he can open doors that no one can shut. And he shuts doors that no one can open. He doesn't just prevent us from dying an eternal death, but he opens doors for us. He has keys to open doors and opportunities. There's some of you here today, you need God to open doors for you. You need God to open doors. Jesus has the keys to open the doors in your life. He has the keys to open gospel opportunities for you. There are people here today, you say, Lord, I need you to open some doors for me. Some of you Canadians have come here to hear this today. As you go back, you're still praying, Lord, I need you to do something in my life. I need you to open doors for me. Jesus is the one who has the keys. He has all power. He has all authority. We look at the world today, we think it's chaotic. We wonder what's going on. Jesus is ruling and reigning in heaven. Hallelujah. He has the keys to life. He has the keys to death. He's in control. He's ruling the universe. And friends, Jesus has resurrection life in him. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. When he was at Lazarus's tomb, and Lazarus was risen from the dead, and Martha and Mary came to him and said, oh Lord, if you'd only been here a few days earlier. He said, look at me. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. And even though he lives, he will have life in him. Hallelujah. Friends, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. When you become a Christian, he comes and he dwells within you. Whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus comes and empowers you from within, and he releases his power in your life. We are empowered on a day-by-day basis because Jesus dwells within us. Hallelujah. It's what keeps us going. What keeps you going as a Christian. Jesus comes and dwells within us. Hallelujah. And so that's my second point. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again, but he rose with power. He rose with authority. He rose in glory. He rose to the highest place above. And it may not always seem like that, but we need to allow scripture to form our thinking and see that Jesus is the one with all authority and all power. Hallelujah. Thirdly, because of Jesus' resurrection, one day the entire human race will be raised, the Bible tells us. It says that in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. Not just Christians, but the whole human race one day will be raised to life. They will be resurrected to eternal life, some of them, and others to eternal punishment. But we will all be raised. And we, as Christians sitting here today, we must realize that the resurrection of Jesus means that one day I will be raised. Hallelujah. I will be raised as a child of God. And the whole universe, the Bible says, the whole of creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the revealing of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And when we are raised, when the human race is raised, creation will be raised. When we were perfect in the Garden of Eden, creation was perfect. When we fell, creation was cursed. When we are raised one day in glory, the whole of creation will be renewed and raised. This earth will be renewed. All the plastic floating around in the Pacific will be sorted out. Hallelujah. Amen. There will be an entire renewal of the entire universe when we are raised as Jesus was raised. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us it's absolutely incredible. Listen carefully. It says, as Christians, we will be raised. And when we are raised, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Hallelujah. We will receive the image of the man from heaven. Hallelujah. We will receive a life-giving resurrection impartation from Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and just read that together. 1 Corinthians 15. As Paul's writing about this great day of the resurrection, and he says in verse 50, he says, I want to tell you this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. Hallelujah. And friends, one day when we are raised, we will receive a body that's full of power like Jesus' resurrected body. Bodies fit for glory. We will have power and glory, and we will be imperishable. We will have heightened faculties, and we will have the Holy Spirit upon us and in us in full measure. Hallelujah. We will shine like stars in the universe. The Bible says when we see Him, we will be like Him. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. And so friends, we need to keep our eyes on that. We need to rejoice in that. The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has got in store for those who love Him. For those who love Him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, listen to this. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of it. He was incredible. The revelation he was given. I mean, he's a theological genius. And one day, he said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He said, I know this man who 14 years ago, he's describing himself. He says, whether he was in the body or out of the body, whether he was in a trance or he was bodily taken there, he said, he went up to the third heaven. The Jews believed that this earth and its atmosphere was the first heaven, if you like. Then there was the third heaven where God dwelled. He said, I was taken up into paradise. And he said, I heard things and I saw things that I can't talk to you about, that man is not permitted to tell. He said, I saw things there. He said, I heard things there that man is not permitted to tell. No eye has seen. No ears heard. No heart has imagined what God's got in store for those who love Him. Hallelujah. Friends, God has got something incredible, incredible in store for us. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present age are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed, not just in Jesus, but in us. In us. The glory that's going to be revealed in us as we meet the Lord in glory and the things He has prepared for us. Hallelujah. And so friends, the resurrection of Jesus means also that Jesus rose with a spiritual body, unlike any other body. It's a spiritual body. Those two words don't go together. It's called an oxymoron. It's like fishes that can fly. Some fish do fly, but it's like elephants that can fly. Those two don't go together. And so when Jesus received a resurrected body, he could walk through closed doors. And in the tomb, he passed through the tomb. He passed through the grave clothes. Remember, the stone was rolled away, not that Jesus could get out, but so the disciples could get in. He was given a spiritual body. Let's just turn to John chapter 20. It's an incredible few verses there. John chapter 20. And Jesus is now appearing to His disciples because they kind of can't believe it. And in John chapter 20, he appears to his disciples. And in verse 19, it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. The gospel brings peace. The cross brings peace. Peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is a guy that needs a bit of evidence. So 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus did. Friends, Jesus right now, he carries the wounds of the cross in his resurrected body. He showed his hands and his feet to his disciples a number of times. And maybe his wounds were still open because he told Thomas to put his hand inside the wound and to realize that he was dead, but he's alive. He was crucified, but he has risen. Hallelujah. We find on the Emmaus Road as well, when he was walking with the disciples, I won't read that scripture, and they were kept from recognizing him. But when he sat at the table and he broke bread and they looked at his hands, the Bible says they recognized him when they saw his hands. They saw his hands. And they recognized it was the Lord. Charles Spurgeon says, they saw the price of the blessing through those wounded hands. Those hands that caused angels to wonder and demons to shudder. They saw him depart from heaven as the eternal Son of God and return as a man with nail-pierced hands and feet and a wounded side. Friends, the impact of the cross is felt in every corner of the universe. And for Jesus himself, those nail marks are trophies of grace. Like a victorious soldier returning from battle, they're battle scars that shows that Jesus had won the battle on the cross. Hallelujah. And when Jesus prays for us from heaven, he lifts up those nail-pierced hands as he prays for us. And for the world, one day when Jesus comes to judge the nations, they will see those nail-pierced hands. And friends, if you're sitting here today and you're not a Christian today, Jesus reaches out his hands to you today. He reaches out his nail-pierced hands to you today. Don't reject him. The nail-pierced hands are a sign that he's taken the punishment that you deserved. He's taken it already. He reaches out to you with his hands. And so friends, as I come to a close this morning, the resurrection is radical. And when you understand the resurrection, when you see the cross and the resurrection, you realize that the search for answers is really over. The search for answers is over. The resurrection really answers all our questions, really. And it leaves us with a choice to make. What am I going to do about this Jesus? Tim Keller says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then don't worry about anything he said. But if he did rise from the dead, it changes everything. And we really need to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about this risen Lord Jesus, this conquering Lord Jesus, the one who holds the keys, the one who opens doors, the one who has the keys to the gates of hell, the one who's ruling and reigning. One day Jesus is going to return. And I want to encourage you as I close, make sure your name is among the names of those who will be part of the roll call when he appears. That you may be raised to glory, that you may be raised to eternal life, that you may be raised to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. I just close with a story. I've read it to you before. It's a story about this woman, Ruth Metzar, who is a professional singer. And she tells the story about the importance of having your names written in the book that Jesus will bring with him when he returns. The book of life, not the book of death. She was one day asked to sing at a wedding of a wealthy man. And afterwards there was a reception on the top of a huge tower. Actually in Seattle, it was a skyscraper. And she went with her husband and they were excited about the reception. And at the reception, they were handing out chocolates and drinks and stuff, and she was excited about coming in, and the bride and groom were there, beautifully dressed, and people were getting ready to have a feast. And at the top of the stairs, there was someone, one of the waiters greeted them and said, "Could I have your names, please, for the reception?" And she said, "Well, I'm Ruth Metzer, and this is my husband, Roy," and he went down the M's, and he said, "I can't find your name here." And he went down the R's for Ruth and Roy, and he couldn't find them there either. And she said, but I was the singer at the wedding. He said, "I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who you are or what you did. I can't find your name in the list. Without your name, you can't attend the banquet." And he said to his friend, he said, "Please, will you show them to the escalator? They can't come to the reception." And they walked past all the beautifully decorated tables and the banquet that was prepared and the feast that was prepared. And they got in their car and they began to drive home in silence. And he said to her, "Sweetheart, what happened?" And she said, "I was so busy, I forgot to reply, the RSVP, I forgot to reply that we were coming to the reception." And then she started to cry, she started to weep, not just because she'd missed the banquet, but she suddenly got a small taste of what it would be like someday for people as they stand before Christ. And they find that their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life when he returns. And throughout the ages, friends, countless people have been too busy to respond to Christ's invitation to the wedding banquet. People have been busy, they've been going to church, they've been living their lives. But one day Jesus is going to return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this morning he holds out his hands to us and he gives us opportunity to respond to him. As the Lord of glory, as the risen one, the one who is dead but is alive forevermore. I trust that you will take opportunity, you'll make use of that opportunity and say, "Lord, yes, here I am. I want to respond to you, Lord. I want to follow you, Lord. Thank you that you died upon the cross. Thank you for those nail-pierced hands. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to pass from death to life. I want you to put the key into my life and open the door. Change my life forever." Let's pray together. Amen.